there is our music, so we get to get started. Welcome to the Aging Well Together show. I am sorry for being off the last 2 weeks, but so excited we are back today. We are going to have such an informative show, especially for me, because I'm embarrassingly ignorant about understanding Social Security. So yay, I am thrilled. We have wonderful returning guests, the dynamic duo of the Stilley brothers, JT and Josh Stilley of Trustone Wealth Partners. They are back with us. I love it when guests have such a good time on the show that they're like, hey, can we come back and talk about another topic? And so I'm thrilled for what we are going to learn about Social Security. But as always, before we dive into our show, I want to give a shout out to WCOMLP Chapel Hill Carborough on 103.5 FM for hosting our weekly Aging Well Together show. The Aging Well Together show is brought to you by the tremendously helpful team at the Orange County Department on Aging. Please join us each week, except for so sorry I was off the last 2 weeks, as we interview special guests to share information, resources, insights, and stories about the opportunities for aging well together. You usually can join us live every Thursday from 2 to 3, or you can stream us live through WCOMFM.org, or you can listen to any of our previous shows, aka our podcast. This is our 58th show, through the Orange County Department on Aging's website. You're going to want your pencils and paper out, I think, for a lot of the show. And so let's start now by me giving you the website. It's www.orangecountync.gov/aging. On the website, you can find links to our Aging Well Together radio show, as well as a host of helpful resources about services in Orange County, North Carolina. If you have questions about any of the resources we discuss on the shows, or if you want to suggest a topic for an upcoming show, and I encourage those suggestions to come in. I can't believe I'm saying it, but I'm busy booking now for the 2025 season of Aging Well Together, so let me know what you'd like to hear about or folks that you want to have highlighted from our community. You can either call the Department on Aging with suggestions or questions, anything really. This is their main number, 919-968-2070, or feel free to email me at this interesting but clear email. It is agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. agingwelltogethershow@gmail.com. You can also link to it through the website. As always, a shout out to the Carborough Bass Band, the Robert Bradford Quartet, for allowing us to use their great music for our opening and closing music. You'll hear more of it at the end. And I'm so excited. I did not think Alicia Reed was going to be joining us. She's one of the wonderful wellness instructors with the Orange County Department on Aging. She will be with us soon, I think, in a few minutes. She said she was on her way, but I thought we weren't going to see her today because, drumroll please, October 17th, it is the beginning of early voting. And Alicia does so much in our community, and one of it is she works at the polls. And so, folks, this is your invitation to go out and vote between now and, I think it's November 5th, whenever that Tuesday is. Make sure you go vote. And when Alicia gets here, we will ask what polling station where she's going to be, so you can go and visit with Alicia when you go to vote. My plans are to vote tomorrow. Stilley brothers, do you have plans to vote? Are you going to vote earlier, or you vote on the day, people?
I'm a deadliner. I will be voting on voting day.
I think I'll be going voting day as well. Get a sticker and everything.
You get the sticker if you vote early. And my women, my girls, my daughters are absentee voters because they're both at college in other states. And did you know when you get your absentee ballot, there's a sticker in the envelope? So they both already got their I voted stickers. So they've already done their absentee ballots. I'm an early voter because that stresses me out to wait till the day of. What if I'm super busy that day? What if I can't get to the polling place? What if I'm not feeling well? So no, I'm going to do it.
I'm a big fan of early voting. I always tell myself I'm going to do it, and then every 4 years I end up deadlining it. So I've just accepted it at this point.
And you can bring the microphone just a little bit closer, you. Well, tomorrow I will overshare personal information before I give even more personal information. My husband, I don't think, listens to this show, James. I don't think you do, but tomorrow's our 26th wedding anniversary. And we discussed.
Congrats.
Yeah, thank you so much. And so we decided, as part of our evening activities, early voting is open till 7:30, I think. And so we love voting at the Seymour Center, Orange County Department on Aging. I love that the Senior Center in Chapel Hill is an early voting site. So I think our plan is to go vote before we go out for an anniversary dinner. So that's how we celebrate young married people. We haven't figured that out yet. That's what happens when you've been married for so long. You're like, I don't know, we'll go somewhere. But so that's our plan. But okay, a little bit more about me, and then we're going to talk all about you all and Social Security. So I'm Heather Altman. If you haven't figured that out yet, I've spent over 25 years working in aging services and supports. I help older adults and their families connect with resources in our community. I'm a caregiver for older family members, and I had a birthday recently, so now I get to say at 54, I'm focusing on my own changing needs, so I am super invested in how we are all aging well together. All right. So excited. As I said, we have JT and Josh Dilley, the managing partners for Trustone Wealth Partners, back with us. They were on, it was like a few weeks ago / months ago.
I just remember it was the 50th episode. Yes.
Thank you. I have that too. It was our 50th episode. And thank you, Marilyn, who manages our website. You can go on to our podcast listing, and now it's listed by number. So you can look for episode 50, all about financial planning, to listen to that great episode and learn more about their work with financial planning, though we'll talk about it for a quick moment. We're going to do a quick reminder about them and learn all about Social Security. But first, before we dive into that, as you may remember from episode 50 of our our fabulous listeners, we have to do a disclaimer.
You can thank compliance for that one.
Thank you, compliance. Actually,
I do appreciate it.
I don't know if you listened to shows after, but I loved the disclaimer so much. After we did the financial planning show, the next one we did legal. We did two shows in a row on legal services and advice. Mm-hmm. So I kind of tweaked the disclaimer, but I really liked it. All right. So I'm going to read the disclaimer. Here it is. Trustone Wealth Partners, LLC, is a registered investment advisor in the state of North Carolina. The opinions expressed on this show are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views of Trustone Wealth Partners. Any statements or opinions are subject to change without notice. The information presented is for general educational purposes, I like to also add, and entertainment purposes only, and does not constitute tax, legal, or financial advice, nor is it intended to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any securities, investments, or investment strategies. Wait, there's more. The information expressed does not take into account your specific situation or objectives, and therefore is not intended as recommendations for any specific individual. Listeners are encouraged to seek advice from a qualified tax, legal, or financial advisor to determine whether any information presented may be suitable for their specific situation. And I will add, if any of that did not make sense to you, the takeaway, the moral of that disclaimer is, please do not sue Trustone Wealth Partners or WCOM or Orange County Department on Aging or me and Alicia personally for anything you hear on this show. We are here to entertain you and to educate you and to just share interesting information. How's that? Did I do good?
Great. We might need to add that onto our official disclosure.
Yeah. I like the takeaways. Alicia.
Hey.
Hi, love. I am so happy. I told our listeners you would be joining us.
Good.
And I already did the shout out that everyone needs to vote.
Vote. Definitely.
How are you here and not working at the polls today?
I am working at the polls, really. I should be there. But I just came in from our cruise. I have a tan.
That's where you were. You said, I've just come in. I did not realize.
I jumped off and jumped in.
Oh, where did you go? Forget about Social Security.
We'll get to that. No. We'll get to that later. It's not that big. It's not that. Let's talk about what I'm so excited to talk about. That's why I'm rushed here.
I know, but wait. So where did you go on your cruise? Just and you look beautiful.
Somewhere tropical. That's all.
Somewhere tropical.
You can't tell I'm tan. I have ship legs.
You look. Oh, literally. Did you just get back? So yeah, you do. You get seasick. So, not seasick. You get land sick after a cruise.
I don't have anything to share with you all about the things like that you get on ships that you don't take with you. So
yeah.
Wonderful.
Catch your drift.
Welcome though. Welcome. Thank you, Heather.
So Alicia, I did the call out for voting. Where will you be working so our listeners can come and vote and visit you?
Oh,
it's like a celebrity.
No.
You don't want to say where you what
I'm
polls
gonna be
are
at DSS, Hillsborough.
Okay, so the Department of Social Services in Orange County.
That's
at
right.
The Hillsborough early voting
That's
site.
Right.
Go vote. Maybe you can get a celebrity signature.
Bring us food.
Okay. Can you do that? Isn't
yes.
That, wasn't there in Georgia or something, there was like a rule you couldn't give water or something out, but you're a poll worker, not a voter.
Like people bring us food. They'll bring pizza. It's okay.
Some chicken minis.
What's your preference?
Right. Yeah, talk into the microphone more so people can hear your request for pizza.
Come on. Some of the stuff we got to get over. We can have pizza. We can have donuts. People bring us all kinds of things.
I was already doing a shout out. I'm an early voter at the Seymour Center, but now I feel like
you should.
Now I feel guilted that I should come to see you at DSS in Hillsborough.
There.
All right.
And the two, are you in Orange County?
Yes.
Good. We'll hope to see you.
Yeah, you already.
I'm a day of.
They're day of voters. They already said
you've
it.
You've already voted.
No.
Day of, like November.
Day of the voters.
Yeah.
What is voting day? Is it November 5th?
It's the 5th.
Okay, great.
It's tradition.
Yeah, you know, it's.
No, they made it seem procrastinating.
Yeah,
it's procrastinating? I thought it may have been family tradition.
Your family planners.
Well, so,
no,
yeah,
your financial
like
planners and advice. Your family planning has gone well with your two newborn babies.
I know.
We already heard about the baby. We didn't do it on air. All right, do a shout out to your baby boys. Since we spoke, a new baby has joined the extended Stilly family. So.
Yes.
JT, tell your big news.
Okay. Yeah. So this is JT. I'm the older brother. And I was actually second to become a father behind Josh. But
That's
we welcomed
right.
our new son, Jack, in August.
Yay.
August what?
August 16th.
Oh, that's so nice.
We thought I'm a big numbers guy, so it ended up being 8/16/24.
I caught that when he said it. I was like, that's
8/16/24.
Awesome.
Yeah. So cool birthday. But yeah, we're loving it. Loving being parents. He's a joy to have. He's great. He's still working on his sleep schedule, but it's when you're that cute, it's easy to look past that. So.
Oh, welcome, baby Jack. And a shout out to your
Jack's
wife.
Got a cousin.
Remind me of your wife's name.
He's got a cousin too.
Yeah. Wife is Sarah.
Yes. Sarah.
Sarah.
Bravo,
Sarah.
My friend. I haven't met yet. All right, Josh, and tell us about baby
cousin.
Oliver.
Yeah, baby Oliver's. I guess a little over 3 months today.
Wow.
We got grandma in town right now watching them because my wife unfortunately had to go back to work.
Yeah,
she is over at Duke.
She's
Kelsey,
not doing well.
So.
You need to text her now.
Kelsey, yeah. We feel for
yeah,
you.
Yeah, we do. We know.
We feel for you.
Oh my
and
goodness.
I'm sure your parents
are
listening.
We're getting
to
live
us.
Picture updates, so it's all good.
Oh, that's good. Are they listening to us live on air? Did you?
No.
They're too busy.
I don't like people listening to me live.
They should be. They're in the early 60s. They're coming up on Social Security.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Well, they'll listen, but also prepare for that. You as their sons, no longer important. It's all about their grandchildren now. So, you know, they're into Ollie and Jack's accomplishments.
Right. Yeah.
That's good cousins, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
We actually had a dinner last night with all of us, the babies, Sarah, GT, our parents at the 411 restaurant in Chapel Hill.
Oh, okay. I love 411. 411, be a sponsor. We love you.
Yeah.
I know.
We should push some sponsorships. No. And was that great? How did you guys get to eat, or was it all like taking turns rocking?
Oh, we lucked out. They both slept straight through the entire dinner.
They slept through the
They're new babies.
Yeah.
Wait till they're toddlers. You might go through that phase that we went to. As soon as they hit two, we're like, no more restaurants for a year. There wasn't tips high enough we could do to make up for what we did. All right, let's get into our show. For our listeners who may have missed episode 50, our previous episode, can you start by telling us a little about yourselves? Clearly, we know about the babies and your firm, Trustone Wealth Partners.
Sure. So I'll start. As you all know, we are brothers, and I am the older of the two. I'm JT. And we grew up in Charlotte, so we were North Carolina born and raised. I ended up going to the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill.
Woohoo! Tar Heels?
Yeah, Tar Heel through and through. I graduated in 2014 with a major in economics. I was a member and team captain of the swim team while I was there, which was great because that's actually how I met my wife, Sarah. She was a swimmer on the team as well.
They're athletic. They're your people, Alicia. Both of them are big
athletes.
She still
hasn't worked out since you were here. I'm just for the record.
I haven't. Okay.
We're thinking Jack may have the swimming genes. We'll see. We'll see how that develops. But
you got to take him to Aquatots.
Aquatots.
Yeah, it's a swim school.
Okay.
They dunk them and they float them.
Yeah, you got it.
Kelsey was looking into it. You can do it like
you can do cousins.
It's like as early as like 4 months. You can take them there.
Yeah, listeners, I know you're so excited to learn about Social Security, but we're a little baby crazy
added
here.
Bonus so on Aquatots.
Yes. All right. So do that.
Anyways, coming out of school, I knew I wanted to be in finance, and I liked working with people. So the financial services industry was kind of a no-brainer. I interned for a local advisory firm here in the Triangle that summer and ended up staying on full time. It went very well. And I was actually there for 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
So very loyal to that firm. I loved everything I did. I learned a lot. Can't thank those guys enough. But ultimately, earlier this year, Josh and I decided it was kind of time for our next step in our career. We had kind of a unique vision with where we saw the industry going, and we thought it was worth taking that leap of faith to break away and start our own firm. So that's how Truststone Wealth Partners got started. It's going very well so far. We're enjoying it, but we are a financial services firm. Mm-hmm. So we do wealth management, financial planning for households who are nearing and in retirement. So that's kind of our typical client base is those who are, we say age 50 plus, but
That's us, Alicia.
And we do have a separate side of the firm, separate division. It's our retirement plan services division. That's where we work with small to mid-sized businesses on consulting on the retirement plans, providing 401k plans, 403bs, pension plans, things of that nature. But today's show, in relation to Social Security, that's going to apply more so to that personal wealth management side because it does fit very well into the overall financial planning picture.
Yeah, I'm so excited. I talk with folks all the time with my work with All About Seniors about what kind of money they have monthly so we can find housing options that work within their price range. And that's the first thing that usually comes up. What do you have in Social Security?
Yes.
I was already thinking, though, you may want to rename your business, Truststone Wealth Partners and Sons.
That's so nice.
Actually, I mean, it has the word partners, so no pressure for the guys, the little ones, but if they want to follow in their dad's footsteps.
They've already established a way to do it.
Yeah, we are big into family-owned business, and we are younger, so I'm in my 30s. Josh is almost 30, but that's part of the reason why we like to work with folks in their 50s and 60s is we're here to be your relationship and your advisor through and through. We want to take you up to retirement, through retirement, and beyond that. So we are not fans, not to criticize, everybody's different, but we're not fans of, retiring or moving to a different job when you're working with folks who are at a very vulnerable stage in their lives, mm-hmm. In their 60s, 70s, kind of getting used to that change mm-hmm. of environment. So we built the firm to have a 30 plus year runway, hopefully well beyond that, especially if our sons decide to take over. So that we can carry those relationships throughout the remainder of their lives.
You know, I'm glad you mentioned that because we didn't get a chance to talk about it last time. And it's one of the first questions I asked you when you and I first met off air, and I said, y'all are kind of young. How does that fit with your clients? Mm-hmm. And you made that point, and I have seen it in my own family. I've seen it. You have these relationship folks, whether with physicians, with attorneys, with financial planners, and if they're your same age, right when family members are retiring, mm-hmm. same with all of their support advisors.
Yes, yes,
and
yeah.
So then right at the most vulnerable time, they're having to start new relationships. So I loved that point that there is something about having folks quite a bit younger
to help settle some problems.
Yeah. Necessarily the norm, but we see a great advantage with that. Mm-hmm. And we do believe just our service model in general, because of the depth we go into with planning, we can provide the most value to folks who are in that 50 plus age group. So that's kind of twofold why we chose to work with that clientele.
All right. Well, I love that. So tell us about the show. I know we're going to be covering Social Security. Did you want to give a quick overview and then we'll start getting into you? The guys were so great, Alicia. They gave me some great questions to ask. And before we get into details, one of them was like, do you want to give a quick overview of what we're going to discuss?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's going to be pretty full circle on what Social Security is, how to, key times to take it, when to start it, things like that. We're going to cover the essentials of everything and then just show how it can fit into your retirement income as a whole as well. And speaking on the retirement income itself, you know, we think a good foundation for any solid retirement plan is kind of knowing your spending needs and expenses.
Yes.
And mm-hmm. a key part of that process that we actually start with is kind of drawing out this retirement income timeline just to help you visualize when to claim your Social Security benefits.
I know, and that's a big issue.
Lots of times when we meet with people, you know, they'll be like, you know, when should I start my Social Security? If there's a golden answer that applies to the masses. And the reality of it is it really does depend on each specific situation. There's things like marital status, health, you know, the actual retirement date, and other sources of income that play a role into it. And when you draw out this retirement income timeline, you know, for example, if you were to take an individual who says, you know, I want to retire at age 65, mm-hmm. but I'm going to go ahead and delay my benefit till age 70. Mm-hmm. We would take that and look at that and say, hey, we have a 5-year gap there that you're not going to have any Social Security benefits. And let's assume this person needs $100,000 to live off of in retirement. Mm-hmm. The simple math there is you have $500,000 you have to make up for in that 5-year gap. And a lot of times when Social Security hasn't started yet, that has to come straight from investable assets, mm-hmm. which in certain circumstances can be a big drawdown on your accounts and be detrimental at some certain point. So it kind of comes back full circle of you need to look at the big picture of, you know, when should I start my Social Security? Do I have the timeline to fill those gaps in between? And does it make sense to delay benefits based off potentially my health status, my longevity of, you know, what my parents might have done from a life expectancy standpoint as well?
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. So there's, I already have so many questions, but wow. I feel like we should start, let's start at the very beginning, to quote Julie Andrews from The Sound of Music, let's start at the very beginning. So let's take a step back and talk about the history of Social Security so we add some contextualness. Mm-hmm. I thought it might be helpful to give a brief history of Social Security. So whichever of you wants to do this, can you share a little bit about the origins of the program and why it was created?
Yeah, I'll touch on that as well. I actually threw down a couple stats here because
oh, we have fun.
Everyone loves history.
I don't know how fun the facts are, but they are facts.
We love them.
we like statistics. Yeah.
So Social Security itself, it was started in 1935 by FDR's New Deal, which mm-hmm. was after the Great Depression. And just to give you a little bit of information here, the life expectancy in the mid-30s was very low. Mm-hmm. In 1940 specifically, life expectancy for a 65-year-old was almost 12 years for a man and 13 years for a woman.
Wait, 12 years once you hit 65?
Yeah, if you hit 65, average
What's
life expectancy
that?
Is 12 more years.
Math is 77.
That would put you at
77.
It's been a long day. I'm like, 70? Okay.
And then 13 years for women, because women tend to live longer.
That's actually higher than I thought you were going to say in the 40s.
It
but
is.
Okay, go on. More stats.
And then
them.
This is a 2022 number, but it was... Now looked at age 65, 17 years for men, 20 years for women. So, you know, about 5 extra years for, you know, life expectancy, 7 years for women.
82 to 85.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then basically, if you look at 1945 as just a general area to start, there were 42 workers per Social Security recipient. Hmm. So essentially, there's 42 people paying in while only one person would be receiving it.
Oh, now I'm scared to ask what it is
2022,
now.
2022, again, these numbers are a little dated, but 2022, the estimated is 2.8 covered workers per recipient.
Hmm. Ooh, that's a big difference. That's why we hear a lot. Okay, go on.
And that's the bottleneck that's kind of being created and a lot of the fears around the program where it's at today. And just more on the history of why it was created, it was meant to be supplemental income,
right.
not a sole source of income.
Right. That's a good point.
Mm-hmm. Which, unfortunately, most people receiving Social Security today, it is their main source of income.
It really is. When I speak with folks, I had a whole long conversation with someone yesterday. It is their main source of income.
Yeah.
And the other added component of all this is, you know, probably even before we were practicing in financial advisory services, people would kind of look at it more of like a three-legged stool. They'd have their Social Security. Most employers would also supply a pension. Mm-hmm. And then what's ever left over would basically be pulled from your investable accounts. The problem with today's world is the pensions are not nearly as common as they used to be because the system was somewhat flawed.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So now you have this big gap being created where Social Security itself is really, for most people on average, maybe making up, you know, 30% to 40% of what their income needs are, with the remaining of their income needs needing to come from those investable assets. And that's just kind of snowballed into this predicament that we're in today, that unfortunately that bottleneck has been created. People are questioning the program, but there are reasons to show that it's not going to go away anytime soon, thankfully. Mm-hmm. Now, our generation might be slightly screwed, but
I'd say we'll be okay. We'll get more into it, but it'll likely look a little different than it does today. But I have full confidence personally that it will.
Yeah,
be
and we're
everyone.
In different generations. I'm already in my 50s thinking it's going to look different. So the fact in your 20s and 30s, I mean, talk a little bit about. We're starting to go into the current state of the program, but there is a lot of buzz, and especially it's election season now, but it has been about the future issues and sustainability. What can you tell people that's giving you this confidence that it will still be here?
Yeah, I'll dive in there. This is JT. So I have a pretty extensive background in working with employers and employees and going and educating staff. And one of the topics I like to talk about is Social Security. And that's because, like Josh mentioned, it is a very crucial component of your overall income in retirement. Generally, I'll start by asking the question by a show of hands, who thinks Social Security is going to be there? And Heather, to your point, the older folks in the room, most
I'm
of the time some
head.
Hands will go up. We still had some wavering there. But the younger folks, more often than not, they're keeping their hands down. They're not so sure. I always like to express my opinion. Understand it's just my opinion. I could be wrong, but I personally believe very strongly it will be there for everybody, including myself in my 30s. Now, is it going to look exactly like it does today? Probably not. Mm-hmm. There is a big problem out there, and I think that everybody should be educated and understand this problem because it is so important. So long story short, Josh kind of explained the history, and this will segue into what's happening right now. Is what's being paid in by the workforce currently is only replacing roughly 80% of the benefits that need to be paid out to retirees. But because back in the day there was so many extra workers per individual drawing benefits, there were these reserves that were built up over the years. So that 20% shortfall is being replaced by the reserves that have been built up. Problem is, as it stands now, they are projecting those reserves to run out around the year 2034.
There we go.
So we're about 9 years out from that date.
Right when I am 64. Yeah. Right when I'm about to be. I have seen those numbers. I'm like, uh-oh.
Now, I guess the good and bad news there is that's not like Social Security runs out of money. Now, the reserves are depleted, but if you remember, still, what's being paid in by the workforce currently is replacing 80% of what's to be paid out. So if they make no changes between now and then, keep the program, we're looking at 80% of our benefit versus that full benefit that we see when we log in to see our statement. Mm-hmm. That's still a huge problem. Again, with people relying heavily, if not exclusively, on Social Security, you know, chopping benefits by 20% is an issue.
Right.
So there has been a lot of buzz in recent years on some potential changes and adjustments to make it fully sustainable. I personally hope they make changes sooner rather than later before they become deadliners. Because the closer we get to that date, the more impactful the changes will probably be and the more we're going to feel it in our pockets.
Well, and are those changes, I've heard some changing the age or?
Yes. Yeah. So there's a lot being thrown out there right now. I'll touch on a few that I think are more likely than not to happen. There's probably I've seen as many as eight different things discussed, but the most impactful ones would be first and foremost age.
Yes.
And you touched on that. So we'll get more into this in just a second, but most listeners, you're going to hit what they call your full retirement age around 67. If you were born before 1960, you'll actually hit it a little bit earlier, somewhere in the neighborhood of 66 and a half. But anybody born after the year 1960, you're going to hit your full retirement age at 67. That used to be 65. They've already pushed it back to 67. They're probably going to push it back further.
So that means that I can't get my full benefits until whatever the new age is.
70.
And that is full benefits. Well, again, a touch on this, but you can still take benefits as early as 62 or delay till as late as 70. But that full retirement age, as they call it, there's a lot of nuanced details around that. So it is an important factor to consider.
Okay.
They're going to push that back. I would bet money on it. The question is how far and who is it going to affect? I think that they'll push it back maybe a few additional years, maybe 68, 69, maybe as far as 70. It'll probably be a tiered approach. Those who are closer to retirement, I don't know where they're going to draw the line, will probably be okay and not affected. Those who are younger are probably going to feel more of a pushback. So Josh and myself,
you'll prep. Growing up, it was all like, oh, you work until 65, you can keep working after, but you all will go into it saying, yeah, it's not going to be until 70.
I'm expecting the age to be pushed back. which is not ideal, but it's still, if that means that my benefit is there when I retire and I can count on that and plan around it, then so be it.
I mean, it depends. It depends on the kind of work. I mean, so much of this, if you're working a really hard physical labor job, mm-hmm. that's what I've, you know, how much can the body take?
Right.
Which is very different than, mm-hmm. say, I don't know, being on a radio show and chatting and the kind of work that I do. I'd love to keep, I mean, hey, Dad, if you're listening, my dad's 87 and is still working and enjoying it. Mm-hmm. And it goes into other conversations about meaning and purpose and social engagement. So we want folks to be working if they want to, but not that they have to. And it's body breaking down. So I think there's the issue.
And one other thing I would just note there on some potential changes, because I think this could happen as well, probably a combination of the two, is in relation to the taxes, which Josh will touch on just very briefly. Mm-hmm. We won't go too deep on it, but there's kind of two components here. One is you pay Social Security tax up to a certain wage threshold. Mm-hmm. It's quite high. I think for 2024 it was a little bit north of $168,000. So most individuals are paying the tax on all of their income. If you are a very high earner and you earn above that threshold, you don't actually pay Social Security tax above that. They're talking about, and they have been actually raising those thresholds year by year with inflation, and then also just to help with the sustainability of the program. So I would say that's likely to go up. The second piece is the payroll tax itself. Again, Josh will get into it, but more or less, you're paying a portion of your tax. It's going into the program. That's how it all operates. I wouldn't be surprised if they raise that up a little bit. Now, when I say raise it, we're talking maybe 1 to 2% mm-hmm. increase. And for those who are W-2 employees, you're not self-employed or an independent contractor, your employer actually pays half of that. So even if it was, say, a 2% increase in taxes, if your employer's paying half, you might feel 1%, mm-hmm. which, again, not ideal. Nobody wants to pay more tax. But if you're asking me, a 1% increase in tax means my full benefit's there when I retire again, I'm going to take that.
Yeah. I mean, and it's selfishly for me and for so many family caregivers who left traditional work, so we're not with full-time employers. I know I walked away from that 4 years ago, and so wondering what the hit will be. And now I'm I guess you'd call it a gig worker. Now all my jobs are consulting jobs, and so I think I own that. All right, so maybe we need to do some more basics, because there's so much I need to know about it. It's bad, the level of ignorance I have. All right, so in terms of eligibility and benefits, maybe more contextualness about breaking down the basics of how Social Security works, because we're starting to get into the specifics, but I wonder if we need more contexting.
So JT touched on a little bit, but essentially how it works is social retirement benefits are based off your worker's earnings history. Mm-hmm. You pay into the program through the payroll tax. Mm-hmm. And essentially, you're paying into that program in order to qualify for those benefits later on in life. It almost operates kind of like a deferred annuity. You pay into it, so then you can get these guaranteed payments on the back end. Now, the payroll tax itself, as JT mentioned, most people in the world are W-2 employees.
And by W-2, in case that doesn't make sense for folks, just clarify what W-2 employees mean.
Full-time, and they're, I guess not self-employed, but I guess W-2.
Like back in the day, when I worked for an organization, you work 40 hours or more a week. Like your employer.
Full-time employees, you're eligible for benefits, healthcare, things like that. Yep. Versus self-employed, people understand that. But the secondary piece would be independent contractors, where you're providing work for your employer, but you're not what they would call a full-time employee mm-hmm. covered under their benefits program.
Yes.
And to go back on what JT was mentioning about the payroll tax itself, of how a potential solution to, elongate the Social Security benefit issue we have right now would be adding to that payroll deduction. So right now it's at 12.4%. And again, these people who are employed pay half that, so they're paying 6.2%. The employer is paying the other 6.2%. JT mentioned if it goes up, say, 2%, then that means your payroll into the program would be 7.2%. Mm-hmm. And that itself would, elongate the program extensively. So,
but independent, I'm jumping in because I'm mm-hmm. selfish. So independent folks like me, so I'm paying the full 14% now. Yep. And then, again, I keep waving the flag for so many family caregivers who aren't making an income because they're providing services unpaid. So that's where it gets sort of complicated, but we'll get into that later. Yeah. But so if people like me who are all independent, and Alicia, you too, well, now you're older now, but that's that full 14% would be borne by me.
Yeah.
Correct.
Okay,
and
go
ourselves
on.
As well. We're self-employed technically.
Yes.
We run the firm. We are the employers and the employees to a certain extent. So we are paying that full percentage both on the employer side and the employee side. So
got it.
That is kind of a general way of, you know, when you get your paycheck and you're wondering where all your money's going,
yes.
you can see a good portion of it's going towards this program. It's not just disappearing. So,
yeah.
And I do think a silver lining on what JT discussed is these changes would be gradual. It's not going to be, you know, all of a sudden 1 year to the next, Social Security's gone for everyone. I think it will be well extended into the future to know what's coming your way, so you can hopefully at least plan a little bit for it. But at the end of the day, it's not going to hurt to just save a lot more today, knowing that that benefit or the program will probably be somewhat of a reduction of where it's at today.
And it's an interesting issue about this concept of paying in and paying back, because really, I remember hearing this conversation. I don't want to mess it up for our listeners, but people who are receiving Social Security today, it's what other workers are paying in. It's
yeah.
it's not a, oh, I've paid in, and so I have my own account
yeah.
that's bringing back to me. And so that's where there's some disconnect.
Right.
You're paying into this group, but right now your benefits are not what you paid. It's what the current workers are paying, right? It's
yeah.
like
correct.
An interesting.
Yep.
So we'll be funding your Social Security
Thank you
benefits.
So much. Keep working.
That's how gracious we are.
Yeah, I remember it was my grandmother or something was like, this is my money, I'm paying into it. And people are like, no, we're paying into it. So it's a weird deferred thing. Okay.
That's where some folks can get upset, understandably so, where it's not like you're paying in and it's set aside for you specifically
right.
in this separate account. And every dollar you put in, you know you're going to get out. You are funding the folks who are retired right now in hopes that in the future, mm-hmm. the younger folks are going to fund you as well.
Yes, younger folks. And for me, as a Gen Xer, we've got different demography numbers. So I'm the smaller generation, right? There's only 40 million. There's 80 million baby boomers around, you know, give and take a few million, 80 million millennials. So am I potentially in a better shape? Because as a Gen Xer, mm-hmm. there are so many millennials that are going to be paying into Social Security when I need the benefits, or how does the numbers
we'll have to
there?
See how things shape out here. But I mean, basically you need to look, just I would consider the total workforce when you're hitting that full retirement age. So you're looking at millennials and Gen Zers. You're probably right. And there hasn't been a whole lot out there about this, where I think eventually it will, perhaps the program will start to self-correct in a way when there are more workers per retiree. But we're kind of just getting into that shift into the boomers starting retirement, and they've got obviously a long runway to go. So I don't think the problem is going away anytime soon. They're going to have to look at some of those alternative strategies.
Yeah, I am. Thank you, Alicia, taught me how to take better notes here. I am looking at that fun fact you gave us. So it's 2.8 workers,
right.
but with so many more millennials, will that the millennials are already in the workforce. Would that jump up at some point just by nature of their
If the
so
ratio
many...
is higher, then yeah, it'll help improve the program.
Yeah, I'm geeking out on numbers here.
And
I'll
another issue is just on the longevity of people living longer than they originally thought would happen, going back to the history lesson of
yes.
these payments, once you start them, are, you know, guaranteed for life. So it's essentially...
Folks are living to 100,
it's a lifetime
and they
payment.
Retire at 65. So even if you have more people paying into it,
yep.
you
it's
have more people
correct.
Needing the benefits from it. So
yeah, the three big variables that we've kind of alluded to already are how many people are collecting benefits, mm-hmm. how long those people are living, and then how many people are paying into the program mm-hmm. currently. You change any of those, it's going to shift how the program works. But again, for the foreseeable future, I would say at least the next few decades, there's going to need to be some changes made to make it fully sustainable.
So in terms, I want to make sure we're covering all the topics. So in terms of the eligibility and benefits calculator, have we talked about how the retirement benefits are actually calculated and
right.
what are the requirements to qualify?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so we touched a little bit there on the taxes, how you actually pay into the program. To actually be eligible for Social Security, you need 40 credits worth, and a credit is a quarter. And essentially, you have to have a certain amount of income in order for it to qualify. It's pretty minimal.
It's like $1,600 or something.
So that's
like
10
that.
Years, 40
yes.
credits.
So
okay.
40
look,
credits.
Good math.
You're killing
or
it.
10
I'm
years
on
is
it.
10 years
that's
is the other way to look at it.
Yep.
So, and essentially, once you hit that point, you're officially eligible. You can start claiming as early as age 62.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the second part of this is most people work longer than 10 years. Mm-hmm. So the way your actual benefit amount is calculated, it's called the primary insurance amount, and that's based off of your highest 35 years of earnings. So it's a whole formula that goes into it that I don't remember off the top of my head, to be honest.
And it will confuse all of us, including me.
Yeah, it's
magic.
It's a gradual
essentially,
formula.
You have 35 years. If you get towards the end of your time, this goes back to the planning stage, you can calculate what your highest 35 years looked like. If you don't have 35, there's zeros that are put in there. So you can sometimes gamify it a little bit. You say, hey, if I'm at my highest earning point right now, let me go ahead and bank in another high earning year so that it's part of that calculation. And then essentially, this primary insurance amount, it's called the PIA, is created based off these highest 35 years of earnings. And that number is what your Social Security benefit will be at full retirement age. So as JT mentioned, 67 is probably the norm for everyone right now. PIA is associated with your benefit at age 67. If you were to claim earlier at age 62 or 63, it's a reduction of that benefit. If you were to claim later, all the way to age 70, it's an increase in that benefit. And on average, it's close to 8% each year you delay. So if you took it at 68, you're going to get about 108% of your benefit. If you waited till 69, you might get 116% of that benefit.
Okay, so the numbers got a little confusing. I think the takeaway, and I've heard this, is for folks that choose to take it at 62, which may make a lot of sense for them from a lifestyle perspective. I know some friends have done it. However, it is a reduction in the benefit.
Yeah.
Is it a reduction until you're 65 or 67?
It's a lifetime.
Lifetime reduction, yeah. And I guess
to
do some round numbers here.
Yes, do let's assume
full retirement age of 67, that's 100% of your benefit. Mm-hmm. If you take it 62, it ends up being about 70% of your benefit. So if you were receiving $1,000 a month, now you're looking at $700 a month, and that is for life.
So that's why it is a big calculation and decision for those that decide to take it.
Right.
And there's all those other factors that you want to look into for, again, it comes down to the individual. If you have longevity in your family, a lot of times the break-even point's probably around age.
Yeah, I could speak to that. So
83?
The break-even point, basically.
What do you mean by break-even?
Yeah, so this is a great question here. So the big question becomes, so let's go back to our hypothetical example here. If somebody took it 67, they're getting $1,000 a month. Mm-hmm. Somebody takes it 62, they're getting $700 a month. The argument here is, if I take it at 62, that's still 5 years that I'm getting that $700 a month versus when I waited, right? So where's the trade-off there?
Oh, and that's so you can,
so you plot it out, and there's a break-even point, as we call it, where it's really based on life expectancy. I mean, nobody knows how long you're going to live, but if you look at genetics and health, those are going to be the two biggest indicators. And if you plot it out from a mathematical standpoint, it ends up being that if you happen to know you're not going to live past age 78, that's the first kind of break point, it actually does make sense to take as early as possible at 62. That's going to get you the most money out of the program. Now, if you think you're going to, if you've got longevity in your family or you're very healthy, you think you're going to live a long time, the second break-even point is age 82. And if you live past age 82 from a mathematical standpoint, it actually makes sense to delay as late as possible. So you would actually want to wait till age 70.
Okay.
So that's just the math component there. Obviously, there's a lifestyle.
It hurts my brain
well.
A little bit.
I know.
I would like to work for a long time if it's stuff like this, which is really enjoyable.
Okay.
So, all right. So if we expect, and I don't know, actually, I'm thinking about longevity in my family. It's a question mark. It's right around 81, 82. So, all right. So this is something that folks get to think about. I have other questions, but I feel like I should let this go in the flow. Other things about benefits, or to qualify, you just have to hit a certain, well, there's a few things. You have to have the 10 years. How does it work for people who are getting their spouse's Social Security? I don't know if I'm messing.
No, you're right on it. Because if we're talking about types of benefit, so far, we've just been talking about your personal retirement benefit, but there's kind of two additional benefits that are very important when it comes to planning. And I would caveat this entire discussion by saying, I know we're getting into detail here.
We are. Let's go back to our disclaimer. None of this is for individual. Talk to somebody. Go on.
Well, and I was just going to say, Social Security, unfortunately, is one of those topics where little details make huge differences.
Huge.
So I think we would be doing a discredit to our listeners if we didn't at least touch on these. Now, if it's complicated, we can have further discussions. Mm-hmm. We're happy to, but we want to at least share the information. But coming back to your question of additional benefits, so the two big ones are what we call spousal benefits, and then the second one is survivor benefits.
Yes, I've heard of both of those.
And they both have big planning implications. So starting with spousal benefits, so basically if you have a spouse who was working, you are actually eligible for 50% of their benefit. Mm-hmm. Okay, so this can come into play if you, let's say if you have one spouse working and the other spouse is not working, obviously they would want to claim that 50% benefit. So between the two spouses, they're getting two significant incomes coming through. The other question that comes into play is if the second spouse is working, you want to do the quick math to see, is 100% of my benefit going to be more, or is 50% of my spousal benefit going to be more?
Oh, my brain.
So what ends up happening is,
so if
you have a very
couple,
yeah,
like does the spousal benefit, is this when the spouse passes away or they're alive?
No, that's when the survivor benefit comes
into play.
Oh, okay.
So this is still, so you're both, so let's just for fun use like me and my husband or something. So when, so spousal benefit, you have to decide, or don't we just both get it? And come
yeah,
back?
So let's do that. Let's just do an example here.
Okay. Okay.
So let's say one spouse has a very extensive earning history. They're eligible for $3,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
And let's say that was your husband.
Okay.
And so you can receive the spousal benefit of $1,500 a month at your full retirement age. But if you're also working, you would want to see what your personal benefit is. If your personal benefit was, say, also $3,000, you wouldn't even elect to take the spousal mm-hmm. benefit. If your personal benefit was below $1,500, mm-hmm. then you would want to take that spousal benefit.
Mm-hmm.
So long story short,
well, I guess the general takeaway is, what if you both retire? Don't you just get both of them?
No. Mm-hmm. No, you have to either choose your benefit or your spousal benefit.
No, that's where am I seeming really stupid right now?
No.
It's confusing. So me and my husband both retire at 70. We have to pick. We
choose
can't
which one
both
you want.
Get his Social Security and my Social Security. We have to pick which of us is 100 and which of us is...
The question answers itself, because you guys will obviously pick the higher one. Mm-hmm. So it's if whoever has...
I thought it just combines. No. So no. A married couple, it doesn't combine.
So you have your personal benefit. You have your you have your personal benefit, and then your spouse is eligible for half of that benefit.
Got
if
it.
They choose.
Mm-hmm. So you have to decide who's... Okay.
So you have to decide, is your personal benefit higher? Or is your spousal benefit, which is 50% of your spouse's, is that higher? And you just choose whichever one is the higher of the two.
Got it.
Unfortunately, you're not able to collect both your personal and your spousal.
Okay, go on. Sorry. Yes. I'm going to ask more. Because I work with couples. I work with individuals, but I also work with couples. And they say, okay, this is our monthly amount that we can spend. We have this much in Social Security. We have this much in pensions. And we mm-hmm. So I never ask more about
the details.
The Social Security.
I will say in conversation, it does probably come across as, okay, we just have a combined benefit, because people usually do just assume,
yes,
oh, I'm getting $3,000, my wife's getting $1,500, our Social Security benefit's $4,500.
Right.
Yeah, and I never...
But it does break
into...
down to the specifics of,
oh, okay,
of your, either your own benefit you're claiming or spousal benefit.
Okay. All right, good. Go
again,
on.
Again, we're in the weeds.
Long story
here.
Short...
In the weeds, I will not... Yes,
consider,
with the week, I won't make us
you
want to
look... If you're married,
yeah,
you want to look at your personal benefit and you want to look at your spousal benefit and you take the higher of the two.
Mm-hmm. This will be our wedding anniversary discussion tomorrow night. Okay, go on. And then
the second
survivor.
Big one is survivor. And this one is actually huge as well. So this is where if your spouse was to pass away, or if you were to pass away, the remaining spouse is eligible to now receive the full benefit of the spouse that passed away. So this is actually a reason why a general rule of thumb, this is not for everyone, but a good rule of thumb is, it usually makes sense to delay the higher earner's benefit as late as possible. Because not only do they get those higher benefits for their lifetime, but if they were to pass away, the spouse gets those higher benefits the remainder of their life as well.
Oh, okay.
Does that make sense?
Kind of, yeah.
Okay.
And then doesn't it... Well, I don't want to confuse things. Survivor benefits, doesn't that also kick in for children, or
it
is that
can.
A different? Okay.
So if you have dependents below the age of 18
mm-hmm.
or below the age of 22 with a disability,
okay,
they can be eligible for benefits as well.
Okay.
Now, the reality is most people, obviously, when they're claiming Social Security benefits, don't fall in that category that they'll have those dependents, but there are the one-off scenarios where... They do.
That
so.
Happens. Okay. Are there any other, because I know I was supposed to ask about any other potential additional benefits that are available, or did that just cover
So those? We touched on most of it. The only other one, and I won't get into it for today's discussion, but there are actually Social Security disability benefits as well.
Yes.
The only thing I would say there
is... I know, that's
is,
where the SSDI comes
it
in.
It is
I was
the
like, my brain's
strictest
hurting.
Definition of disability you're going to ever see.
Yes.
You basically have to be unable to have sustainable employment for at least a year, or expected to result in death.
Mm.
So it is very difficult to qualify for that, but it is a benefit that's there to tap into if you found yourself in that situation.
And isn't that... Okay, I don't want to confuse things. What age can SSDI kick in?
Oh, it's a little bit different. So
that's what I thought, because I want to say that's not just for folks over 60.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's throughout your working career.
That's even if you're
younger. There's now where it gets a little bit nuanced is that 10-year qualification that we talked about for the retirement benefit. Mm-hmm. It's a little bit different with the disability benefit. But
okay, we'll do a whole separate show. Yeah, we'll come back with Social Security disability.
Oh, my goodness.
There's so many nuances,
which, you know, we'll talk about this at the end. And but I would say because of all of this and every detail does matter, before you ever even think about claiming Social Security, I would recommend working with an advisor or somebody who specializes in it. We can run scenarios and take a look at the different strategies available and then give you your answer on what makes the most sense.
Well, I'm glad you brought it up. And I was going to ask about any other considerations of timing, taxes, earned income, things like that, because you were so sweet to tell me what to ask you about. But so for folks who are confused, who do they turn to? I mean, clearly they, you know, financial planners, but who are the people?
Yeah.
Is there a free resource? Like, can they go to the Department on Aging, my friends? Like, where can they get different kinds of information to help? What are the types of professionals that can help?
Well, funny you ask. We actually, I think you've even seen part of it. We do have this little program outside of our core business called the Retire With Us in the Triangle.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have a web URL. It's called retirewithusnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
And this is essentially where we kind of have a lot of educational material on things like Social Security, amongst many other things.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually currently a webinar out there right now that we put together, and there's also a workbook that goes along with it. So if you guys are interested, you can go out there and check it out.
RetireWithUs.com.
I think they'll end up asking.
RetireWithUsNetwork.com.
RetireWithUsNetwork.com. Okay.
RetireWithUsNetwork.com.
I'll add that on the website. And so, folks, so people can turn to their financial advisors. Do attorneys also help with this?
Not typically. So I would say kind of the two key resources here are, first and foremost, everybody listening, regardless of age, whether you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, go to ssa.gov if you have not before.
Right.
That stands for Social Security Administration. So ssa.gov, go there, set up a login if you haven't been in before, log in, double check what your benefit is showing. It'll show you what your projected full retirement age benefit is. It'll show you what it would be at 62. It will show you at 70. And there are actually, they revamped the website, thank God, a couple years ago, and it's significantly improved. There's a lot of great resources and tools on there. So I would definitely check that out. If nothing else, I actually go in just once a year myself to double check that the income they reported for last year is correct.
Right.
I've actually run into situations before and heard stories where they will misreport it.
Mm-hmm.
If they underreport it, you definitely want to get that fixed. Mm-hmm. If they overreport it, I'll leave that up to you. But
okay, so helpful. I've not been on there. Okay,
yeah, definitely check that out.
I've logged in myself. And
is it scary?
Okay. No,
it's actually well done.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
The old website, I was not a fan, but they revamped it a couple years ago, and it's much better.
Easier.
Yeah,
all right. User friendly.
Super helpful. So we have 5 minutes left. So I want to be able to. We have two more questions or two more issues when it comes to claiming your Social Security. What are important considerations that retirees should keep in mind to help them make the best decisions? I think we covered that a little bit, but
we
let's
did.
Do a reminder.
So I will kind of recap that, and I'll be super high level on the remaining strategies in the interest of time here. But the biggest one by a mile, we've already alluded to this, is the timing or the age that you choose to take Social Security.
Mm-hmm.
That by far is going to be the biggest impact. When you start to add up all those years that you're taking benefits, it literally can make the difference of tens, if not hundreds of thousands of dollars over the years. So you want to make sure you're getting the timing right and planning around it to your best of your ability. The second piece I would say is from a tax planning standpoint. I won't get into the numbers specifically, but I will just mention that Social Security is a bit unique where you may pay taxes on the benefits you receive in retirement or you may not.
Yes.
There is a threshold, and you can Google the threshold or you can give us a call. It is a very low threshold, I will say that. So most individuals, there's no real workaround. You're most likely going to be paying tax on your benefits. But if you can live off lower income, or if you want to get into more advanced planning strategies like Roth conversions, there are ways around it. So if you really want to get in the weeds with it, there are ways to avoid some taxes there. I just wanted to be clear that there is a threshold there that I would go out there and check on to see if you're close to that income level and you're like, hey, I think we could live below that, then by all means, definitely plan around it. If you look at it and say, no way, I mean, we're double that and then some, again, it's one of those things where you just kind of accept it as what it is. You're gonna have to pay the taxes.
Interesting.
And it is somewhat of a cliff effect, meaning once you go over the max the limited amount that you're all of a sudden, all of that Social Security benefit is just going to be considered taxable income now.
They call it the tax torpedo because there's this huge spike in your marginal rate as soon as you cross the thresholds.
Continuing to work while getting your Social Security affect that?
That actually, that does. That's one. And then the second piece is the earned income component. So actually, if you are still working and you try to claim Social Security before your full retirement age, so we'll just use 67 because mm-hmm. that's most everybody. Mm-hmm. So if you're still working below 67 and claim, they actually withhold your benefit if you exceed a certain income.
Yeah, a friend of mine is going through this. Yeah. So it's kind of complicated.
It's like every $2 earned, $1 withheld.
It's like you have to work just a little bit because if you make too much, like it's a...
The threshold is $22,000 for 2024. Yeah. So
it is?
Basically...
Yes, so you have to make less than that or else you're going to start to lose your...
Or they're going to withhold it, yeah. Now, the beauty of it is if they withhold that benefit, it's not lost. It's actually, they recalculate that back into your benefit when you either retire or hit age 67. But it gets extremely complicated to plan around the withholdings and then also the recalculation itself. So our general advice is unless you really, really need the money for some sort of emergency, it doesn't make sense to claim Social Security if you're still working and under the age of 67.
Okay. Good to know. And for friends that have already made that decision,
figure that out.
All right. So with our 2 minutes left. So we're going to start the wrap-up process, your essential takeaways for our listeners regarding Social Securities. And listeners, if we've confused you, I am so sorry. This was about understanding, but maybe it's just sort of, this is like an appetizer. It's just putting issues out there as a teaser that if any of this was confusing, as it was for me a little bit, it just is an invitation to learn more. But what are the other takeaways that you want folks to know and resources? You mentioned the RetireWithUsNetwork.com. You mentioned SSA, SocialSecurityAdministration.gov. What are other resources or tools that
we touched on those already. So SSA.gov, you can check out RetireWithUsNetwork.com. Again, just meeting with an advisor, someone you know that's somewhat of an expert in this field, and they can kind of tell you what to do. And then also we have additional resources on our personal website as well. We have all these flow charts and guides where you can, you know, even look at what will my spousal benefit potentially be, and I'll take you through the scenario through the guide itself.
What is your website? I know we don't push businesses here, but whatever. Yeah. It's a resource. What's your
website?
It's
TrustStoneWealth.com. So.
Okay. And then any other takeaways or lessons in our 30 seconds left?
No, I would say, I mean, Heather, you kind of alluded to it. I know it is complicated. I'm sure a lot of this was difficult to comprehend, but hopefully there were a couple little nuggets and insights that at least sparked your interest and said, oh my gosh, I need to get an understanding of this. And if that's you, I would check out the resources we talked about, or I would call an expert. Heather, you asked the question, you know, who else does this type of thing? Do lawyers? Not typically. Usually it's going to be financial advisors, but not all financial advisors. Some stay more in the lane of investments and income planning. Others will go deeper on Social Security planning. We're happy to have that conversation with you. Or you can actually call. There's folks who work at the Social Security Administration. You can give them a call. I will say it's generally kind of hit or miss on who you're speaking with. Some are more helpful than others, but there are resources out there. And I would definitely make sure you have a good understanding of how it works before you ever pull that trigger on claiming benefits, because a lot of times it is very difficult, if not impossible, to unwind.
To go back from that.
Correct.
Okay, well, you have definitely sparked my interest, especially since I just hit a birthday. We're hitting our wedding anniversary tomorrow, so there's a lot to look into. Thank you, JT and Josh Stilley of TrustStone Wealth Partners. Thank you to our listeners. Thank you, WCOM, for letting us have our Aging Well Together show. Thank you for our sponsors, Orange County Department on Aging. Everyone, make sure to go out and vote and think about your future, I guess. Take care.
Thank you.